అఖండమండలాకారం వ్యాప్తం యేన చరాచరం యత్ పదం దర్శితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. సో యాజ్ యూజువల్ ద ప్రామిస్ అండ్ అవర్ డ్యూటీ. Never forget that what we are all doing here is to be a service of the world. That is what we should always remember. In that you may grow, that is something else. You may get a very high responsibility, that's okay. But if what we are doing is not for the service of the world, it is of no use. Any knowledge which is not utilized for service is a waste. Even our mundane education, not only yogic education, if you read a course in medicine and you don't serve the people, no use. If you read engineering and you don't serve a company, you won't get anything. You get a personal profit of a knowledge when you utilize the knowledge to serve somebody. Here also the yogic knowledge is supposed to serve the world. That you always remember. Our orientation is to serve. But you can serve only when you get the knowledge. You can be an engineer after a hard struggle. You can be a doctor after a hard struggle. You can be a scientist after a hard struggle and reading and reading and reading. That is what our Upanishadic seers used to say, Swadhyayam ma pramada. You have to go on reading and acquiring knowledge. Next step. The three madnesses, whatever we have, minimum for us and the rest must be returned to God. That is exactly what is meant by sacrifice. Whatever you have earned, you sacrifice the major share to the world and minimum so that you may continue your life. Next. Second madness. If there is a God, we should experience it. And within a month I have realized that what the Hindu religion says is not false. That is Sri Aurobindo's experience. And yesterday I showed you a slide about the mother saying, what is the use of praying when you don't become. So here it is. I am experiencing in myself the science of which it speaks. Sri Aurobindo says the last line. So that must be our first goal. The whole life of our attitude in our life must be turned to divine, to realize God within ourselves first, because he says the Hindu religion declares that the way lies in one's body, in one's own mind. And here again there is a problem. The word Hindu. Repeatedly I go on telling you that Newton's law does not belong to Newton. It is universal. Einstein's law is not Einstein's law. It is universal. But still we call it an Einstein's law, because he was the man who first gave it to the world. But the law he gave is universal. The dharma of the laws of nature, right from Sat, Chit, Anand, supermind, mind, psychic being, and the lower three, these dharmas were first given to humanity by Hindu seers. Therefore, we call it as Hindu Dharma, that's all. The Hindus don't have any right, specific patent right on it. Nobody can say that I have a patent right for gravitational laws. Nobody should use gravitational laws except when we permit it. So the all-perceiving, all-pervading, all-understanding dharma was first enunciated by Hindus. Hence it is called Hindu dharma. You remember that. And what does the Hindu dharma say? It says, the path to realize God is by turning inwards. Deho devalayaha. And modern science, especially neurologists, have proved that the Indian gods do exist in the same way as they are pictured in our religion. You have it ready? Show it. For example, we know that until the brain is linked with the body, you can't work. If there is a disconnection here between the upper and the lower, the trunk and the brain, you can't do anything. And there will be always an obstruction. And who is the lord of the obstruction? Vinayaka. And you will find that exactly as we have envisaged the Vinayaka, in our brain also there is a form which is exactly like Vinayaka, with all his various physical manifestations. So you operate the brain and see it is visible. And for that discovery, the man who discovered this and wrote a book, Physiology and Vedic Rigs, Tony Nader was his name, he is still alive. And not only is he still alive, he is supposed to be the Nader Ram who is ruling the Ramarajya. They have formed a parallel government already. It is working since 5 years. So things are moving for that Akhanda Bharat. And very fast. The only thing is we should be properly linked with proper understanding. So, Holland, I think. Mahesh Yogi is the side. Mahesh Yogi. Very big group. Having a parallel government. You see this? I'm not able to read it. You see the similarities? And here you see the ears of it. And what is this part? Cerebellum and the ears of the Ganesha. Next figure. This one. This is known as the pons. The face, the pons, this is the medulla, and this is the oblongata. You see that? It's okay. Let us not dwell deep into it. Finish it. Come to the second madness. Similarly, he has shown how the various divinities are exactly present as they are in the human body with their ayudhas. This is the Matsyavatara and all that it comes. Don't waste time on that. Go to the other slide. It is only to show that things are going fast in the world, where the Deho Devalaya is being proved by neurological experts that the lords are inside our body. And of course the third birdness is the mother country, Mother India. I look upon my country as the mother. I adore her. I worship her as the mother. What would a son do if he demands sat on his mother's breast and started sucking her blood? If that spirit doesn't come, then talking about Mother India has no meaning. It is only a lip service. And that is why Sri Aurobindo said they are my madnesses. And if these three madnesses don't possess you, actually integral yoga has no meaning. Why? Let us see his dream. Next. When once you say about Mother India, you can free Mother India by the Kshatriya power, by the military power, or by the power of the Brahmin. And always the Brahma Teja is a bit higher than the Kshatriya. And Sri Aurobindo says, God sent me to earth to accomplish this great mission. And what is the use if God has sent him with a mission? Why are we reading it? Because we are also a part of that mission. Naturally. Is it not? Next. For this, there must be a revolt. And what is that? It is not a revolt against the British government, which anyone can easily do. It is, in fact, a revolt against the whole universal nature. That is where we are leading it, a revolt of the universal ignorant mind converting into a super mind. That is the revolt which we are trying to. And once you are converted into a super mind, everything becomes a continuity. Akhanda mandala akaram vyaptam yena characharam. But its faint steps may be heard even now. You can hear it even now. And how we are going to do, we will read it in the Yoga of Perfection. But this revolt is what we are trying to do. We are a psychic being. We have to become a supramental being. Then what happens? Just as the most ignorant savage man and the Einstein, the greatest scientist, differ in consciousness. You can understand the difference in the consciousness of a savage and the great Einstein. That will be the difference between Einstein and a savage supramental being. The savage is an adjective I am using only to say that in the grades of supramental level, who is a savage there is much higher than an Einstein. So that is the revolt which we are going to do. So we have to prepare our minds for it. Next. The five dreams, India today is free, but she has not achieved unity. And how to get unity? If 24 people in every town can understand what is unity, and unity is nothing but overmind being illumined by supermind. That is what we will read in the Perfection, Yoga of Perfection. So you need not even reach over supermind level. If you can just reach the overmind level, 24 people in every city, the work will be over. The unity will come because this partition must go, he says. But this partition should not be another thing that somebody is dominating the other. We are not going to dominate anyone. We are uniting everyone. But that spirit of unity, we will have to understand. Next. The role of Asia, we will read it later. Next. Unification of the human world is under the way too. India has begun to play a prominent part. But somehow I feel now it is taking some rest because of overwork. But it has taken too much rest. Therefore we should see that we become again active as at the time of pre-independence days, but not for India's freedom, but for the unification of human world. When he says human world, it means the human family, the entire humanity. Wherever there is a human being is, there we should be connected. Just as we Indians are ruled by the Indian Constitution rules, and the Americans are ruled by the American Constitution. Similarly, there is a world constitution which is known as unity and equality. This constitution, if you can practice, because it is natural, you understand that the importance is it is natural. And there is a scientific experiment which is known as the 101 monkey experiment. What does it say? If 100 monkeys are trained for some extraordinary type of activity, if 100 monkeys are trained for an extraordinary type of activity, like in a circus, then every monkey in the world can follow it very easily. You understand what I am saying? There is a unity in the monkey consciousness. Naturally, there is a unity in the human consciousness. So if 24 people in a city can be trained for this unity and equality, the world is... Because our principles are 24. We have 5 karmendriyas, 5 jnanendriyas, 10. And then we have the 5 pranas, and then 5 what is known as the sattvas, and then mano, buddhi, chitta and ahankara. So each part is activated by 24. But that is minimum. That doesn't mean if the 25th man comes, he should not be. And if the entire world joins us, most welcome. But 24 is enough. You understood the 101 monkey experiment? And this is true for minerals also. First time, to crystallize a radioactive compound used to take 500 hours for making a crystal of a radioactive compound, sulfate, uranyl sulfate. And now it takes only 3 hours because of the regular processes. So wherever there is an abhyasa, whether in the mineral level, whether in the plant level, or in the human level, things move fast. But in mineral, plant and animal kingdom, they are constrained by nature. But in human kingdom, the natural constraints are not there if you follow the path of yoga. And you can go it very fast. Next. The fourth dream, the spiritual gift of India to the world. You have a gift to the world because the present world is a mental world, mental being. Man lives in the mind. He can conquer anything to which his mind is set. But unfortunately, his mind is set to the lower three, to the mental plane or to the lower vital plane or to the lower materialistic plane. Now what we are to gift to the world, you should tell them that there are higher planes also, which commence with supermind. And then there is the Satchit Ananda states of consciousness. They have to be told first. When first time Edison said that electricity can be used to give light in the world, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted it, so it is very dangerous. Then in Melona Park, on a Christmas day, he lighted the whole park. He illumined the whole park. And then everyone came and saw and said, yeah, it is possible. And then after that, it took 100 years for the electric light to come into our houses. You are understanding what I am telling? So don't worry. The spiritual gift you are giving to the public, if they can understand it or not. If few people can practice it, that's enough. And of course, the last dream is evolution. And this evolution means the mind must be evolved into a super mind, or the manomaya kosha must be converted into a vijnanamaya kosha. The super mind and vijnanamaya kosha are synonyms. Next. then who is mother? Again, we do the same mistake which happens to the ignorant mind. We take the body as the consciousness. When we say Sri Aurobindo, Mother very clearly says that it is the body which was inhabited by you. In the relic, what do we write? We don't say that the relic is Sri Aurobindo. The relic is that which inhabited Sri Aurobindo's consciousness. But the relic also becomes very active because of some supramental vibrations, which we call it as prophesizing. Many yogis can do that, a very lower overmind aspect of prophecy. Many people come and ask me, Guruji, when will I marry? Guruji, will I pass or not? They say, I am not that type of guru. I don't know. If you work hard, you will get the result. If you pray well and read well, you will pass. You are understanding what I am telling? There are various levels. And of these various levels, what we have to understand of Sri Aurobindo and Mother is, they are the examples set by nature for future evolution of Vijnanamaya Kosha and Earth Consciousness. Or, when the Vijnanamaya Kosha descends into the planet Earth, each cell, that has been done now. The work is over. Now what is it is, you have to milk it. The college is there, the teachers are there, the laboratory is there. Unfortunately, the students are not there. Next. The conditions in which men live upon earth are the result of the states of consciousness. To want to change conditions without changing the consciousness is a vain chimera. So this is what you should understand, that whole knowledge is changing your consciousness. Physically, a chemist changes his consciousness by studying chemistry. A physicist changes his consciousness by studying physics. Is it not? A yogi changes his consciousness by reading the yogic scriptures, that is what Aurobindo says, the Shastra. And for integral yoga, there is no Shastra. We have to create it. When the Vijnanamaya Kosha becomes as dominant as the Manomaya Kosha, there also we will have this type of education. But we are the forerunners. Next. You have to become, it is laziness to become that makes one worship. When you are worshipping something, you remember that you are lazy. When you are not trying to becoming it, you try to understand what Mother says in it. She is not saying, don't worship. But every day, your worship must take you to your Ishta Devata. Every day, your consciousness must be bolded into the consciousness of the Ishta Devata. And you remember, this Ishta Devata is in the plane of the overmind. And this plane was mastered by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, as is very clearly shown by his sadhanas. You give him any Ishta Devata, 3 days is enough. So what did he do there? He just didn't simply worship with laziness. He tried to become that. If you do your daily worship in that spirit, maybe you may not be able to do it in 3 days, but certainly you will be able to do it in 3 years, not more than that. You need not require more than that to realize any God. And if you accept Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's sadhanas, 3 days are enough to become that devata. Why we are not able to do that? Because we don't have the Shraddha. And now you try to understand what Shraddha is. Shraddha is a supramental quality reflecting in the Manomaya plane. You always remember it. Shraddha is not a mental quality. That is why we are so lacking in Shraddha. Shraddha mayoyam purushah yoya shraddhasya evasah. What a tremendous statement. యోయ శ్రద్ధ సయేవ సహ. యు ఆర్ వాట్ యు ఆర్ డిపెండింగ్ అపాన్ యువర్ శ్రద్ధ. దట్ ఈస్ ట్రూత్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. శ్రద్ధ మేకింగ్ యూ దట్. బట్ నౌ ద ప్రజెంట్ శ్రద్ధ వీ హ్యావ్ ఈజ్ ఎ ఫోర్ రన్నర్ ఆఫ్ దట్ సుప్రామెంటల్ క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ శ్రద్ధ. హౌ డూ వీ గెట్ ఇట్? వీ స్టిక్ హార్డ్ టు ఇట్. వాట్ ఎవర్ మే బి హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, వీ బిలీవ్ దట్ దట్ సూపర్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ గోయింగ్ టు డిసెండ్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఓపెనింగ్ టు ఇట్. అండ్ వెదర్ ఐఎమ్ అవేర్ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఆర్ నాట్, ఐ కేర్ నాట్. ఐ విల్ హ్యావ్ దిస్ శ్రద్ధ. సో దట్ ఈస్ బికమింగ్. ఐ డూ నాట్ వాంట్ ఎ రిలీజియన్, అన్ ఎండ్ టు రిలీజియన్. దిస్ ఈజ్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ స్టేట్మెంట్ ఐ థింక్ విచ్ విజ్ఞానమే కోసా పీపుల్ విల్ అండర్స్టాండ్. We don't need a religion, because a religion is praying to God. And when through Vijnanamaya supramental consciousness you know that you are God, you don't need a religion. Next. To thee who has been the material envelope of our master. Now mother is praying to Sri Aurobindo, and she is saying that I am praying to you. But this form, whose relics we are having, is the material envelope of the Master. To thee our infinite gratitude. And many times Mother has told a story that this is what we lost in all noble qualities. You heard the story of that? There was a meeting where all noble qualities were invited to the kingdom of heaven. Everyone came there in their splendor, but this gratitude came as a simple, because gratitude is so simple. She was not allowed. Huh? Huh? Drama, of course. Huh? Because we forget the gratitude, and we don't show the gratitude, we are not humane. We just say thank you when somebody gives something, but in our house, the people who give us food every day, when they cook it well, we never say, very good, you have cooked well. And if by chance, accidentally, one day, it is not up to the mark, you just throw it. That is the gratitude. We eating every day what they have cooked. I'm just saying an example, how we have to grow into the spirit of yoga. So, are we showing our gratitude to leave alone Sri Aurobindo, to his material envelope? Can I make my point? You want to be always where your lover is it not? And if the material envelope, the relics are here, where should you be? You should be pulled away from there so that you may do your work. And when are you there? Before thee who has done so much for us, who has worked, struggled, suffered, endured so much, before thee who has willed all, this is, attempted all, prepared, achieved all for us. The Sankalpa Shakti, the Kriya Shakti, and the Jnana Shakti. All the three he has done for us. Before thee we bow down and implore. Do we know what to mean by implore? We bow down, but we don't implore. That we may never forget even for a moment all we owe to thee. So that must be our heart. I don't know what you say, a sorrow or a pang. Whatever you name, you give that feeling. Next. This is what I am trying to stress. The word, Sri Aurobindo says, the word has to be captured and given to the world. The higher mental states are actually inner stations, levels of consciousness, like the seeds. This seed is a level of consciousness in our mental plane. You sit in the chief minister's seat. The chief minister, wherever he sits, the seat becomes chief minister's seat. You understand it? So that is the mental seat. And the physical seat is the seat where he sits in the office. So this chief minister's seat must be a word in the chief minister's mental plane where he sits there, and because he is sitting there because of his mental prowess, he is sitting in the seat. I am just giving an example of the seat. It may be the seat of an engineer or a scientist or somebody. You can understand now this seat and the asanas you do with the mind, with the body, and then various seats, sadhas, make a house, griha, where you are housed in the mental plane. Our mental plane, we house as a Hindu, somebody else as a Muslim, somebody else is housed as a Christian. Those houses become the devalayas, and the devalayas become the nucleus of the towns. Places are statuses, dhamma. Dhamma are the multi-storied buildings we are having. So our higher mental plane is working. It is reflected as a multi-storied building in the physical plane, but we are not aware of this connection. And Sri Aurobindo continuously emphasizes that there is a continuity of consciousness from sat to the matter. It is a continuity where the various levels come down, come down, come down, but they just come down, but the source is that. So for the multi-storied statuses, what is the consciousness which makes you stay in a multi-storied building? Do we know? No. We are forced to stay there because of various other constraints. But these are the higher mental states which we have to understand. That is why I am saying, reading this book once is not enough, twice is not enough. Maybe 100 times you may get the crux of it. But these slides you concentrate. And the footings, the padam, padam and padma are almost what we call as synonyms. So it is the lotus consciousness of the guru which we catch hold when we pray for the, when we touch the feet of the guru. We should become conscious of the lotus in which the guru is seated, the padam. Earth, the bhumi, dwelling places, the chiti. And this lotus I will explain in the yoga of perfection. Sri Aurobindo has explained. Next. But the sadhaka of the integral yoga has to harmonize all. Go back. You see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have to harmonize all these states of higher consciousness in integral yoga. So you should be aware of what this consciousness means. These are the names given to various levels of our consciousness in higher mind. And you understand what is the lower mind and the higher mind. Lower mind is a time conscious. Higher mind is infinity conscious. These are the levels in infinity conscious. And this is what I want you people, let us join together and read this book with that spirit. This must be our purpose. If we understand it, just the 101 monkey, you remember, if you understand it, it means majority of the human beings are understanding it. And our Vishwarupa, Shatashodha Sahasrachaha. If you understand it, if you really understand it, not just writing it and memorizing it and vomiting it out, but if you really understand it, be sure that 100 people also will understand minimum, and maximum Sahasrachaha. And after that, it goes on. So next slide. But the sadhaka of the integral yoga has to harmonize all. All means those higher plane conscious worlds that may become a plenary and an equal unity of the full realization of Satchidananda. Here the last difficulty of mind meets him, its inability to hold at once the unity and the multiplicity. The multiplicity is based on three things: Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesha. Brahma means the creative process, Vishnu means the sustaining process, and Mahesha means the dissolving process. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara. These are the three gunas, Sattva, Raja and Tamo also, which creates the multiplicity. But you should know also the Akhanda Mandalakaram, the unity. So these two shlokas of Guru Stotra is the basis of integral yoga. You know the multiplicity and you know the unity, which strings the multiplicity as if sutre manigana iva, as the beads are threaded by the thread. The one unity is threaded into all these souls of human beings. Next. Next slide. Now, the explanation part of this one becoming many but still being one is something which can't be expressed in words, and therefore a symbol and a legend. What is this title given to any book? You remember this, a symbol and a legend. And Savitri is the light of the sun falling on earth. That is what Savitri means in Sanskrit. Suvaya Teti Savitri, which flows down, is Savitri. So when the light of the sun, and what do you mean by the sun? Not this physical sun, even though he is the manifestation of the truth consciousness. If you want to have a manifestation of the truth consciousness in the world, sun is the best symbol. Or you can say, as you are the manifestation of your psychic being in this physical world, the sun is the manifestation of the Vijnanamaya Kosha, the future coming Purusha. We have the Manomaya Purusha now. When we go to the supramental Purusha, it becomes Vijnanamaya Purusha. And now I read this. The difference, not easy to define except by symbols, may be expressed if you take the Vedic image in which the sun represents the Vijnana, and the gnosis means Vijnana, and the sky, mid-air and earth, Prudhvi, Akasha and Antariksha, the three lower planes, mind, vital body and material body, sky, mid-air and earth, the mentality, vitality and physicality of the man and of the universe, living on the earth, climbing into the mid-air or even winging into the sky, the mental being, the Manomaya Purusha, would still live in the rays of the sun and not in its bodily light. You are able to feel its rays because you are a Manomaya Purusha. If you can become the Vijnanamaya Purusha, then the supramental light comes out of you. And if you are a Manomaya Purusha, you can take the light, there is a descent of the light, but you cannot become the Vijnanamaya Purusha. A new body has to be built, it is in the process of being built, and its final test will be on September 11th, 2011. In September 11th, in one way, it is very significant. You know about that skyscraper? That is a proof that the materialistic obstructions have been removed for the Vijnanamaya Koshas coming down. You have to correlate the physical activities with the higher activities. And all this is here in this, and of course in the other volume. What is that? The divine life, life divine. You have to read both. You have to club them both. There the theory is there and here the practical. And you have to be as serious as that.
And
the Vijnaname Purusha has to be built so it should have a body. Just as a Manomaya body is there for the Manomaya Purusha. It was done on September 11th. Huh? That however, we'll talk it later. Why? Because today I will show you the slide. Time and supramental consciousness. Last. Last chapter. I will show it. I will finish it that also today. The sky, the mid-air and the earth, the mentality, vitality, physicality of man and the universe, living on the earth, climbing into the mid-air or even winging in the sky, the mental being, the Manomay Purusha would still live in the rays of the sun and not in its bodily light. The bodily light will be when you can build a Vijnanamay Purusha. Then we will have four Purushas. Right? When we become the supramental beings, we will have four Purushas. The Annamay Purusha, the Pranamay Purusha, the Manomay Purusha, and then the Vijnanamay Purusha. So that is what in the psychological parlance we can explain people what we are trying to do. We are trying to create a higher psychology. Because psychology is mind level. And mind level we can achieve whatever it is. But we are trying to go super mind. Would still, and in those rays he would see things not as they are, but as reflected in the organ of his vision. In what is our organ of vision? In Annamaya Kosha, we have a Annamaya vision. In Pranamaya Purusha Kosha, we have a Prana vision. In Manomaya Purusha, we have a Manomaya vision. And because we don't have a Vijnanamaya Purusha, this sun, you can see only with the vision what we have. Limited by your instruments. Deformed by its faults or limited in their truth by its restrictions. Next. But the Vijnanamaya Purusha lives in the sun itself, in the very body and blaze of the true light. He knows this light to be his own self-luminous being. And in the material plane, this self-luminous plane has descended. That is what radioactivity is. Radioactivity, once it is a radioactive body, you can't stop it. It is self-luminous. It continues. What you can do for a radioactive thing is, you can put a shield, that's all. But you can't stop it. Emanations of alpha, beta, gamma rays. The same radioactivity must descend into your Manomaya Purusha. Then you will become radioactive. And he sees the whole truth of the lower triplicity and each thing that is in it. He sees it not only by reflection in a mental organ of vision, but with the sun of gnosis itself as his eye. For the sun, says the Veda, is the eye of God. This eye of God, Chakshushi Vidya. Later we will discuss next. The yoga of self-perfection. I start with chapter 19. Let us see if this chapter 19 probably gives you the entire yoga of self-perfection completely. Let us see this slide. Page 783. It is a radical conversion as great as and greater than the change which we suppose evolutionary nature to have made in its transition from the vital animal to the fully mentalized human consciousness. So, the yoga of perfection has this goal in view. It is not making your Manomaya Purusha great, not making your mind reach the four levels of mind. The higher mind, the illumined mind, the intuitive mind and the over mind, these are mental levels. But what the yoga of self-perfection aims is, this change when nature made a man out of animal. the man becoming divine, supermind, is a radical conversion greater than the change when an animal mind has become a human mind. So this is the goal of perfection. So this must happen in us. How can it happen? Let us see. The yoga of perfection necessary to this change, the change in evolution. So far as we have been considering it, consisted in a preparatory purification. So this is the first step. This is the goal of the previous three yogas and the plus two. What is plus two? Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga. And what are the three? Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So these are all the purification yogas. And once a thing is purified, you use it totally, is it not? You may purify it step by step. But once the substance is purified, you use it entirely, in its entirety. That is integration of the five yogas. So, the yoga of perfection is a part of integral yoga, consisted in a preparatory purification of mental, vital and physical nature. How? The physical nature by karma yoga, nishkama karma yoga. And then, if you can grow to the equality, samatvam yoga ucchate, and then later, you become an expert in those actions. Generally, when you don't have any desire, you will not work. But the physical nature has to be made to work in such a way that you are an expert in whatever you do. Yoga, karma, sukaushalam. And then the vital, bhakti yoga. And what is bhakti yoga? An ideal. Becoming an idol. Many people don't understand why we pray to idols. And many times we are criticized, and the more he says he is intellectual, he criticizes the idol worship more, which is wrong. Because an ideal always becomes an idol of perfection. There are three words which we should remember. Idea, ideal and idol. Whenever we talk about truth, what is the idol that comes before us? You remember anyone? Truth? Satya? Why Harishchandra? So the ideal of truth has become the idol. And don't you think that ideal becoming an ideal is a higher evolution? So all our gods are ideals evolved into an idol. Rama, Vigrahavan, Dharma. What is Rama? The idol of Rama? Dharma incarnate. What is Dharma? The Maryadas, the limitations. So he becomes the Maryada Purushottama. So this we should remember. In vital, the idol worship, Bhakti Yoga, is most important. But then what you should be? You should become the idol. When Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was practicing the Hanuman Sadhana, he said that he just couldn't live in houses. He has to jump into the trees. He lived in the trees, and what happened? He grew a 6-inch tail also. So that is the real worship, Bhakti Yoga. And all other bhaktis are what mother said, laziness. So let us not be lazy in the idol worship, in the Bhakti Yoga. So this is Karma Yoga, this is Bhakti Yoga. And mental, Jnana Yoga. And in Jnana Yoga, the higher yoga I have given you, worshipping sun, as a supramental knowledge being. You are not worshipping this sun. You are worshipping
that sun for which this sun, the physical sun, is an idol. Am I clear? So that is the basis of sun worship in Egyptians as Ra, or our sun worship. But now what it has become? You just bathe. God only knows what you are doing like this. I'm not criticizing it. The habit is right. The karma, kanda aspect is right. But the bhakti and jnana are missing. So add them. And then a liberation from the knots of the lower prakriti. This is the tantric aspect. The tantra says that there are three knots in our being. I am not saying in our physical body. There are three knots in our being. They are known as the Brahma knot, Brahma Grandhi, Vishnu Grandhi, and Rudra Grandhi. So these knots, you can break when you can do the asana and pranayama as given in Gita. Very simple thing. Samankaya shirogrivam dharayan machalam sthira samprekshya nasikagram svam disasya navalokayan. You practice this every time wherever you are sitting. I have explained it. You understand it. If not, you read those slokas in Gita, you will understand it. But what Krishna gives a guarantee is, if you practice this sitting quietly and looking after your breath, yan labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tatah. He is saying this to Arjuna, that if you sit like this and see your breath, the profits you get are so great that you think whatever greatest benefit I have acquired in nature is nothing before the benefit you get by this Hatha Raja Yoga practice combined. Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tata. And when Krishna is advising us to Arjuna, I think he is also advising us. You are supposed to do it. But the karma yoga, sitting and seeing the breathing, must be linked with bhakti and jnana, the integration. So hatha raja yoga linked with karma, bhakti and jnana. So the first steps in integral yoga is the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Dhyana Yoga or Atma Sayamana Yoga. So you have to practice like that. We have so many scriptures, and here in the previous slides I have shown you that for many months you have to practice on Gita. Sri Aurobindo himself has said a scripture. You find out where that slide is. In computer probably it is very easy. You type Gita and Control F and you will go to the slide there. But going to the slide is not enough. Understanding the slide's message and practicing is enough. So you see what this particular paragraph has completely synthesized the entire previous pages. How many pages? 780 pages are completely integrated in these lines. We have read all these things, is it not? A liberation from the knots of the lower prakriti, Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra Grandhi, a consequent replacement of the egoic state always subject to the ignorant and troubled action of the desired soul. Generally what happens? Our ego is dominated by our desire. So if your desire is not in tune, then you will not practice it. It should be dominated with what? By a large, luminous, static equality, samatvam. Yoga Uchyate with surrender, which quiets the reason, the logical mind, the emotional mind, the life mind, and the physical nature. You understand this? Annamaya Purusha should be overcome. Pranamaya Purusha should be overcome. Manomaya Purusha should be overcome. And now when I say these words, it means that if you overcome the Annamaya Purusha, you should be a master of the physical plane. You remember that. If you overcome the Pranamaya Purusha, you should be a master of the occult vital world. Because if you once know the laws of electricity in India, you will know the laws of electricity anywhere in the world. Is it not? If in this classroom you understand the laws of electricity, the laws of electricity are useful all over the world. So if you understand your Annamaya Purusha, you should conquer the Annamaya plane, that is Akara, the waking consciousness, and Manomaya, the mental consciousness, Sushupti, and the link between the two, Pranamaya.
So I have a set of questions here, and those who have questions, please write in here.
Send it to me later, after the class. So the purification part of the integral yoga is based on five yogas: Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. And what are we supposed to achieve by this? Complete operation must be preceded by the perfection of the natural instruments. We have three natural instruments: the physical body, the vital body, and the mental body. The purification of this by these sadhanas. Next, all these things together, meaning whatever I have told in all these days, the Nishkama Karma, the Karma Yoga, the Raja Yoga, the Hatha Yoga, this and that, though not as yet the whole yoga, constitute already a much greater than the present normal consciousness. So the first benefit that Sri Aurobindo gives us, even if you don't enter into the integral yoga proper, even these sadhanas will take you to a greater level. Even though you have not yet commenced the integral yoga. Next slide. A momentous question, however, arises as light grows. The question, through what medium is the divine shakti to act in a human being? Is it to be always through the mind only, and on the mind plane, or in some greater supramental formulation which is more proper to a divine action and which will take up and replace the mental functions? So these are the questions. We know the answer. Purify the mind. Let first the divine shakti reflect in the mind, and slowly let the mind work for a new Vijnanamaya Purusha. So first is purifying the lower nature. Second is gathering knowledge so that the mind can work. And then let the divine shakti drop into the mind, and let the divine shakti formulate a new Vijnanamaya Purusha body. Those are the answers. Next. The mind, by its very nature, cannot render entirely, because mind is reducing, analysis. Mind can understand anything only when you can divide it. That is why even in integral yoga, you are reading it separate chapters, dividing it into separate headings. So naturally, for the divine shakti may utilize these lower nature, but certainly the divine shakti has to formulate a new body. It has to get a new body, the Vijnanamaya Kosha and the Vijnanamaya Purusha. The mind can only reflect. It just can't grasp it. By the example of the sun as the Vijnanamaya Purusha and the mind as the bird flying in the Antariksha. The bird can be in the rays of the sun itself, but it can never enter into the sun. And that is where, in Ramayana, you give an example of Jatayu and Sampati. You know, both of them wanted to go to the Surya, Loka. And their wings started burning. So to save Jatayu's wings, Sampati went above and protected it. Meanwhile, its wings were burnt. So Sampati is higher mind, Jatayu is the lower mind in Ramayana. So everywhere you find this development in our scriptures. But then what did Sri Aurobindo did? He made it a science, not just a simple theory. What do you mean by science? If you follow the rules, you will get the same result, whether Einstein or you. Follow the rules, you will get the same result. That is the role of Sri Aurobindo. Next. The fundamental nature of this supermind is that all its knowledge is originally a knowledge by identity. This is what you should understand. And oneness. These two in Raja Yoga are known as Samadhi and Sanyamana. Samadhi is you are identified with the object you are seeing. A physical Samadhi, I gave you an example, is seeing the movie. As you are going in the real good movie, what happens? You forget yourself. Only the movie is there, the object is there, the scene is not there. That is Samadhi. The oneness, entering into it, you understand the difference. You are seeing the hero on the screen, but you are not aware that you are seeing the hero. You are just flowing with it. That is Samadhi. But suppose you become one with the hero. You can understand the difference? That is oneness. This is Sanyamana in Patanjali Yoga Sutras, and this is identity. This is what we should practice. Identity, later becoming Sanyamana, oneness. And when these two come, it means that the supramental descent has been done. But suppose you enter into the Samadhi, and the oneness is not felt. Then what happens? You go into a trance. Generally we mean Samadhi, a trance state. So in the trance state you are able to feel it. But when you come back, again you are normal. Example, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's trances. So identity, Samadhi and oneness. Sanyamana. Read those chapters in this book. You understand the significance of it, I am telling you, what you should aim at. Next. The second character of the Supreme Mind is its knowledge is real because it is a total knowledge. The knowledge we obtain from mind is unreal. It gives only your viewpoint. But in the supermind, oneness is the first criterion. The second criterion is the knowledge is total. You understand what I mean by total? Akhandam. This Akhanda is what mother wanted in Akhanda Bharat. This totality. The totality of what? One who loves Hindu Dharma. Then mind cannot arrive at identity with absolute, even, of course he is telling that by mind you cannot reach it. Whatever we are now discussing is only a reflection of the truth. We have not attained it. We should always remember. That is why I always shun to talk about Sat Chit and Anand. Because when supermind itself is very difficult, trying to understand it is very difficult. But in this, he has moulded and chiseled the words in such a way that if you go on reading those chapters, you are taken to that level, at least while you are reading it. Next. The third characteristic of supermind arising from this difference, which brings us to the practical distinction between the two kinds of knowledge, that is directly truth conscious, a divine power of immediate, inherent and spontaneous knowledge, an idea holding luminously all realities, and not depending on indications and logical or other steps from the known to the unknown, like the mind, which is a power of ignorance. Clear? In mind, you start from the known and stepwise you go to the unknown. It is a gradation. Whereas in supermind, it is an instantaneous, spontaneous understanding of truth. And this is what I want you to remember.
when you read Sri Aurobindo's words. They have a spontaneous integral meaning. Don't try to give a mind meaning to it. But it doesn't happen if you want to grapple it with mind, because then mind becomes powerful enough to get the illumination. But always you remember a spontaneous knowledge. And a spontaneous knowledge is a spontaneous knowledge. Just as Shakespeare says, a rose is a rose. Because it is a rose, therefore a spontaneous knowledge is a spontaneous knowledge because it is spontaneous knowledge. That's all. Next. The supermind is again, because it acts and creates. Now you remember this. The creative power of the entire universe is the supermind's creation. The higher minds also can't create. When I say higher mind, I mean the higher levels. The higher levels also can create when they enter the supermind level by degradation. And after the degradation of supermind, the ignorance starts. The mind, the vital and the annamaya are ignorant, because it can't have the complete truth. Next. The supermind in the lower nature is present most strongly as an intuition. And now, it is possible to understand supermind with mind. But then you should understand it as an intuition with a gap in between. A intuition from inside. Let us see what Sri Aurobindo says about it. Next. The intuitive mind. Now you understood about this supermind, the qualities, oneness, identity, totality of knowledge and creative ability. That is the character of supermind. But we have only the manomaya purusha. Then how with this mind can we understand the supermind? Sri Aurobindo says, you can intuit supermind. It can't be taught from outside by verbal things in that. But you can intuit it. How? He says here. In the first place, supermind will not be for him a native power always enjoyed. So the first thing you should remember is intuition is not a continuity of consciousness. Occasion, yes. Go back. We will get the slide. Sangyana. Yes. Right. The degrees of the supermind. It comes. No, here it is not. No, you will get it in the next chapter after this. The grace of supermind. Naturally. Even supermind is reflected in our mind as intuition. That is where, until and unless you have a mind, you cannot go to the supermind. We have the mind, but we don't know that we have a goal of a supermind. And this is his best contribution to humanity. To prove scientifically and the various graded steps of reaching supermind. This is what he is saying. This intuition will not be a native power. Sometimes he will be intuitive, sometimes he will not be intuitive. And then, without interruption, but a secret potentiality which has to be discovered, and one for which there is no organs in his present physical or mental system. This is where the Rajavidya and the Rajaguhyam word is used in the 9th chapter. A kingly knowledge and a kingly secret, because you don't have an organ to appreciate it. But the mind is so plastic that it can intuit it. You have to understand the difference.
between intuition and the organ of supermind proper. Next. The soul climbing above a certain critical line of change, this is important, a certain critical line of change. When you go on reading and reading and reading, thing which was not clear before becomes clear. In mathematics especially, the teacher explains a problem. The student says, I don't understand. Again the same process is repeated because the teacher can't change the formula. But when he hears it for 3 or 4 times, he understands. That is, a certain critical line of change sees all its former operations as an inferior and ignorant action and has to affect another kind of working which sets out from a different starting point and has quite another kind of initiation of the energy of the being. This is where we fail. We go on thinking with a mindset of differentiation. What you have to initiate? Another kind of thinking process. This in science they have done. Electron is matter, they say. And they say electron is wave. Wave nature is completely different, it is continuous something. And particle nature is like a particle. They are two different things. But when we talk about the particle nature, the formulas are different. When you talk about the wave nature, the formulas are different. Similarly here also, for the mind nature and the intuitive nature, the mind nature you can say the particle nature of electron. The intuitive nature you can say the supramental plane nature, reflecting in mind. So this change of thinking of the words must come. We use the same words. In science we use the same words. But when in science we say pressure, when in English we say pressure, the meaning changes. Force per unit area we say pressure in physics. But in English pressure means any pressure. So the quantification is intuition. So another kind of initiation of the energy, you can learn it by reading the theory. You have to read it and read it, and for every word there is a big connotation, a big understanding behind it. Next. The problem of this conversion resolves itself at first into a passage through a mediatory status and by the help of one power already at work in the human mind, which can recognize as something supramental in its nature or at least in its origin, the faculty of intuition. So in the mind, the supramental faculty is captured as intuition. Now you should know what intuition is. All scientific discoveries are intuitions. And all the scientific discoveries were done while they were sleeping. That is why when I was a lecturer, I always used to tell the people, sleep, because all scientific discoveries were done when they were asleep. But you should sleep when you are tired of the experimentation. Because when you are tired of the experimentation, the logical mind sleeps. Then the intuitive mind dawns. And if you are not tired, the intuition does not come. That is why you have to go on reading and reading and reading and reading till you are tired. And once you are tired mentally, the intuition comes. And how can we know it, that intuition has dawned? By its superior efficiency, light, direct inspiration and force. You will just feel it. Every scientist, when he understands a clue for his discovery, he always says it dawned on him. He recognized it. He didn't try for it. You understand the difference between recognition and trying? Trying is an effort. Recognition is just seeing. Next. Now, what are we supposed to do to reach the supermind? We have a clue. You tire the mind with the theoretical data so much that intuition dawns. Then what you should do? The first is to extend the action of the intuition and make it more constant. Right? That is the first step. Second step? Next. Go on, silence. Now, one aspect is to carry forward the intuition. Don't ask me how to do it. Maybe someday we can sit together and practice it. But theoretically it can't be explained how to do it. But this we can do it. Because when the logical mind sleeps, intuition dawns. That is the principle. So if you can stop the thinking processes of the mind, and when there are no thoughts in you, the nihil of the Buddhas, the Shunyavada, the point, you understand the Shunya, it is as if there is a Shunya. But actually the name of the Buddha itself suggests that intuition comes. Buddha means intuited, the illumined one. So when the thoughts are gone, and you feel as if there is nothing here, just a blank state, then what happens? The intuition comes. The first is to increase the intuitive period. This is what meditation should be. Next is try to have silence. And now in Sri Aurobindo's biography, you have a beautiful example of all these steps. When he went first to a Western education, a deep darkness covered him. You remember in Dehradun? So that is ignorance. Then what happened? When he was coming back to India, a peace entered into him. That is equality. What is peace? When you are not worried about failure or success, you are at peace with it. So when he was coming back to India and he has not yet alighted in the port, a great peace descended on him, the equality and the unity. And then what happened? By the practice of Lele's pranayama, his mind is gone, the thoughts are gone. All these steps happened to him and he worked like that. He was a principal in that Baroda college, working and teaching and meeting the demands of the king, writing notes for him and teaching for him and then guiding the revolution. All this he did with a blank mind. And you think, we can't run a show of our family with a blank mind? If you can. And after that what happened? The Buddha, Bhakti Yoga, the Adesha, the inner divine principle ordered him to stop this revolution. He didn't. Then what did it do? It gave him an ashram. And there he understood the overmind. And then he got the Adesha to come over to Pondicherry. And there he had got the integral yoga proper. So the entire life of Sri Aurobindo itself is a proof of all these steps, how you have to put them into practice. Next. The actual process and experience of the yoga manifests the possibility of several methods or movements, none of which by itself produces entire result in practice. However, it may seem at first sight logically it should or might be adequate. Now, this is the stress what we should remember. No single yoga can lead you to Vijnanamaya Kosha. It can make you a dominant mental maya kosha, and the powers of the mind and the siddhis of the mind may make you feel that you have reached the goal of the yoga. But actually no single yoga can make you reach the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Only integration of all the yogas. When you say integral yoga, it doesn't mean that it is a single yoga. It is many yogas integrated into one. And when we learn to insist on no particular method as exclusively the right one and leave the whole movement to a greater guidance, we find that the divine lord of the yoga commissions his shakti to use one or the other at different times and all in a combination according to the need and turn of the being and the nature. So every time you may be using all these five yogas or other yogas, but you have to utilize these yogas as a tools. They are not the goals proper. That is the crux of the integral yoga. You have to use all these things to remember it. You just can't say I will use only one yoga and it is integral yoga. If you use it one yoga, it will be one yoga only. If you use two, it will be two yoga only. If you use three, integral means everything. Next. Now, how can you develop the powers of intuition, which is the forerunner of supermind, is to silence. This silence is an active silence. If you can understand, how many of you are chemistry students? Chemistry as a subject? None? One hand, not enough. You see, in chemistry we have reactants and products. This much you can understand. Two things react and make a product. And this equation can go in this way or in this way also. Backward and forward. Is this clear? Now, it can go forward also and it can go backward also. So, what is happening? The reactants are becoming products. At the same time, the products are becoming reactants. You imagine a situation where the amount of products being formed is exactly the amount of reactants formed. Then for all practical purposes it is still, because neither the amount of the products are changing nor the amount of the reactants is changing, but the rate is fixed. So for all practical purposes it is a silence, but it is not silence, it is dynamic. Most dynamic, where the speed of forward motion is balanced by the speed of backward motion. So that dynamic silence is what is required, not a dead silence. But first you have to go for the dead silence, because the lower annamaya defects, pranamaya defects and manomaya defects have to be thrown out. So this is a purification process. And how can you go about it? You have 10 tools for it. These are known as the Dasha Mahavidyas in Tantra. In Tantra these are known as Dasha Mahavidyas. In Raja Yoga it is known as the 5 Yamas and 5 Niyamas. But they should be used as a tool to silence the lower nature. The Yama, the Karmendriyas are silenced. By Niyama, the Jnanendriyas are silenced. And when this silence happens, you have a Dashabhuji Durga. Vande Mataram. And there the revolution starts. The Bhavani Mandir starts off. You read about Bhavani Mandir? Sri Aurobindo's. That is the concept of Bhavani Mandir he gave. Where there is a dynamic silence between Yama and Niyama. Between social reaction and inner purity. And then of course the way of Bhakti. I told you the ideal, being an idol so that you can keep it always in the heart. You remember this. Sarva Bhutanam Hruddeshe. The second Purusha is the secret Purusha is in the heart or of the direct intuitive character, the meditation heart, the 12 petal lotus of the mother, controlled by the 4 dynamic principles, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. You have the mother symbol. Supermind has 4 very clear powers, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And those super mental powers were the cause of division of caste system in India, and unfortunately how degraded it has become. So the mother symbol is the 4 powers translated into 12, the time scale, the 12 months. the 12-petted heart. So one process is put the ideal here and make it an idol. Am I clear? Because you cannot always read passages of passages stating your ideal. But you can solidify it just as the love to the country is solidified into the flag. The flag by itself has no meaning. But it is a murti, an idol of our ideal country. That is heart. That is mother. And sometimes, if you are geometric enough in nature, instead of having all these figures, you can have that figure here. A very clear visualization of, and there you have the four chambers of the heart, the atrium and the ventricles. You can go on meditating. And with that, you have another method, third method, the yoga of knowledge. And what are you supposed to do? You go to the 1,000-petaled lotus. This is 12-petaled lotus, it is 1,000, but you are not supposed to meditate on the brain, but above the brain. And it is at its top and summit that there is a direct communication with the supramental levels. Next slide. It is then possible to adopt a different and a more direct method, not to refer all our thought and action to the Lord's secret in the heart lotus. What is in the heart lotus? You refer your thought and get a adesha. Adesha means an order. You will get it. Now, Sri Aurobindo is giving you another method to bring down the supermind. What does he say? You make it above the mind to receive all by a sort of descent from above, a descent of which we become not only spiritually but physically conscious. That is what you should try when you are meditating for this descent. You should not meditate with your brain. You should meditate with your subtle body, which is above by. You know, you understand what is a subtle body? Sukshma Sharira, Annamaya Purusha and Pranamaya Purusha. These are the two portions downwards. The Manomaya Purusha, the subtle body. The Vijnanamaya Purusha and the Anandamaya Purusha, the causal body. So, you are allowing the causal body to come into the subtle body, and when it descends, you will understand by the way your body reacts. The best example why I always quote Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is, he is a bit nearer to us. He is not talking about supermind, he is talking about the mind. Whenever he used to sit in meditation, he used to feel that all these are locked. And when they themselves unlocked, he could come out of his meditation. That is the descent. That is what you should try. But it should not be the pains, and you say, because you have rheumatic pains, you should say that, you see, my knee is also locked. So it is a supramental descent. No, it is a simple disease. You understand what I am telling? The pains will be there when this happens. But the pains will be temporarily, for one day or 2 days, and later you will become very light and noble. You understand now this method? The heart meditation, mother's meditation. And the supramental descent, the lotus, the pranamaya purusha, the waters, and above it, the supramental sun's rays descending you from sat chit ananda, descending into the physical, vital and annamaya. The lower triangle aspiring, the higher triangle descending. So this you can keep here. And this you can keep here. They are terrific yantras developed by him and she. So they have their value. You can develop a beautiful yantra yourself. But when I open a web page and I give my own password to it, however beautiful your password is, it can't be opened. You can open it with only this password or this password, this yantra or this yantra. Next, Just the brain must not be involved, he is saying. You should not think with the brain. You should try to think with something other than brain. Brain is Annamaya Purusha, part of Annamaya Purusha. And you are supposed to think with Pranamaya Purusha. So this is what I want to you to advise you, that when you read these books, you try to be very clear about what you mean by Annamaya Purusha, what you mean by Pranamaya Purusha, and what we mean by Manomaya Purusha. And a Purusha means a body. And a body means you should be able to use it separately. When you are using the vital body, the mental body and the Annamaya body should not be involved. When you are using the Manomaya Purusha, the Pranamaya Purusha and the physical body must not be involved. You can practice it. That is the way of the three yogas. Karma Yoga for the physical body, Bhakti Yoga for the vital body, Knowledge Yoga, Jnana Yoga for the Manomaya body. Next. Then the fourth method is one. You are understanding what these methods are? You remember? Or you have forgotten already what methods we are talking about, the development of intuition. So the fourth method is one which subjects itself naturally to the developed intelligence and suits the thinking man. And who is a thinking man? We, the common man. This is to develop our intellect instead of eliminating it, and this is why you are to read these books. You develop the intellect, then you go to the higher intellect, then to the illumined intellect, and then to the intuition. The intellectual being too has to be taken up in the Shakti. The intellectual being too has to be taken up by the Shakti in the yoga and rise it to its fullest and most heightened powers. Because in an integral yoga, just by stilling it, the dynamic balance, you may go to the intuition. But when you go to that intuition, your higher mind is not developed. And if your higher mind is not developed, it is not an integral yoga. So for the development of the higher mind, reading books is the only way. Reading books means not novels. These books. Next. The widest natural action of the Shakti combines all these methods. It creates, sometimes at first, sometimes at some latter, perhaps later stage, the freedom of the spiritual silence. Next. The gradations of the supermind. Just skip through it slowly. Next. Next. These are the four powers, the gradation of the supermind. These four powers are the powers of the Brahmin, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, and the Shudra. So when you call somebody a Shudra, what are you talking about him? You are talking him on the level of supermind, and he should be elated. But what if all my countrymen, instead of understanding it as a level of supermind, we are degrading it and we feel proud to be bracketed with some XYZ group because we get some materialistic benefits. Next. Now, the dangers where you can fall into. Intuition and intelligence almost look similar. So he is giving it. Where you are mistaken. A quick intelligence, an idea, may not be intuition. It may be a quick intelligence. An intuitive discrimination may be a reasoning intellect. An inspired action may be an imaginative intelligence. And an intuitive revelation may be purely mental, close, seizing and experience. And now you understand these three in the mental plane. This is Shudra. This is world made flesh. World made flesh. That is what we read. It is in the mind it happens. And what is world? Imaginative intelligence. And what is imagination? Image is a murti.
Is it not? What is an image? A murti. A murti being utilized for a particular cause is purely mental one. It may be an intuitive revelation also. It may be an imaginative intelligence. It may be an inspired action also, the word. Give me blood, I will give you freedom. It is a word. What is its body? The military of the Subhash. I don't know what is it called, IAF or IAF. You understand? The word give me blood, I will give you freedom, has a body of the army. It is an inspired action which is seized by so many mental beings, the army people. And then the intuitive discrimination is the reasoning intellect misunderstood. You are so fast in deducing something, just like Shakuntala Devi. She can do some great mathematical formulas in a flash of a second. It is the reasoning intellect. It discriminates from one formula to another formula, and she can do it very fast. But it is not intuition. If it is intuition, she would have become a great yogi. She should have not. And because she has not become a yogi, what does it mean? She is using a reasoning intellect and not intuitive discrimination. And then, of course, a quick intelligence may sometimes have a stamp of intuition. Next. Just go back, the title. Thought and knowledge. Here I am not at all going to the subject proper, because I have already told you how the divine takes over your thought and knowledge and molds it. So I just skip to the chapter. Next, 23. Supramental instruments, thought processes, jnana yoga. Next. Supramental sense, vital body surrendering to supermind. All our five senses are the product of vitality. So, Sri Aurobindo has written many pages discussing these supramental sense and supramental body and thought process. Please read it and try to understand it. Not with discriminative intelligence. You don't try to discriminate, but an intuition where you can have a togetherness. Keep this in mind. Unity and identity. Next. Towards the supramental time vision, this is what I want you people to stress. And not only that, I want you people to use it when you are reading a newspaper. In 11th chapter, Vishwarupa, the cosmic consciousness, Sri Krishna says, Kalosmi loka chayakrat pravruddho, lokam samahartya miha pravruddha, rute ipi tvam nabharishyanti sarve ye avasthitam prachane keshi yodha. This is the guarantee. Sri Krishna says, whether you fight or not, the result of the war is guaranteed. Tasmat tvamuttishta yasho labhasva. What you can do is, you can get the credit for it or the discredit for it by not doing it. People can say that Arjuna ran away, or they can say, you see, because of Sri Krishna's prompting, he fought. So this is the thing which we are now facing. Exactly we are now facing. If you can see what is written in the time, if you can see what is happening in the newspapers, it is very quite evident. But you have to see it with a discriminative intelligence, but with a totality of consciousness, intuition. Now what happens? Arjuna feared four people: Bhishma, Drona, Karna and Jayadratha. You all know why. Because Bhishma has Ichha Mrityu, Drona is his guru, Karna, his own father gave him a weapon, and everybody knows that secret, open secret.
that weapon of Karna is meant for Arjuna. And Jayadratha, Lord Shiva's blessing was there. Do you think with this combination Arjuna can win? Is it possible? That is what the rationalistic mind, the logical mind, the lower mind says. But what does the super mind? But there the over mind is saying. Here the super mind is saying, which is more authoritative than the over mind. What does the over mind say there? I have killed them all. Whether you kill them or not, it is over. It is only a question of time, and that time is now. So if you fight now, you get the credit. If you don't fight now, somebody else will get the credit. So this time sequence, let us try to understand that there is an infinite time and a finite time, where the infinite time breaks into three parts: the past, present and future. Till the psychic being, the past, present and future are a continuity. What does it mean? Past has to flow into the present, and the present has to flow into the future. You cannot change it. But there is a time gap where you can enter into the infinite conscious, and you can go into the past, present or future. Last paragraph you show. Last paragraph. This is, it can gather on all hands all kinds of indications of happenings in the past, present and future time. It can receive before its sight the etheric writing, the Akashalipi, that keeps the record of all things past, transcribes all that is in the process in the present, and writes out the future. That is the most important tip. If you can understand that consciousness, and how to enter into that consciousness, and it is very easy, once you enter the silence, you enter into that Akashalipi. That means you are not the controller of the incidences, but you can know the past, present and future. That is why in India, whenever a guru is there or a yogi is there, we automatically ask them the future. Because it is ingrained into your mental makeup that a yogi almost knows the future. And a yogi, mind you, is only a man who has stilled his mind. He is not utilizing his mind. I am not saying the yogi in that language of Sri Aurobindo. I am talking about the yogis who have this ability to read Akashalipi. They have not practiced any yoga. What they have practiced is, they have stilled the mind. And when the mind is stilled, what happens? If you can just, when I am seeing this side, I am looking at the past. When I look here, I am looking at the present. When I am looking there, I am looking at the past, the continuity. A vision. That is where the rishis are known as the drashtas, the seers, sees, one who sees. Come back to the first slide. All being, the two states and powers of existence, that of the timeless infinite and that of the infinite, deploying in itself and organizing all things in time. So there are two consciousness in us. One which knows the future and which arranges our lives according to the future. And many people say that we are not able to see the future. Is it a fact? You say next year my child is going to be married at such and such a place. You are invited to come there. If this is not future seeing, what do you say it is? What do you say it is? But because all are doing it, you say it is something normal. But it is seeing future. When you are reading 8th class this year, next year you are certainly to be there in the next higher class. Is it not seeing the future? But it is the future to which you are tuned. Now you are supposed to tune yourself to the infinite time, to all time. And Einstein, when he talked about time-space continuum, he almost hit it bullseye
but I don't know why he didn't complete it. And the shloka in Rigveda, Rucho Akshare Parame Vyomin Esmin Deva Adivishve Vishedhu Yes Tanna Veda Kim Richa Karishyasi Ye Evam Vidhu Sa Etat Vidhu. What does it mean? In the Akshara, in the space, the past, present and future are ingrained. And you say you can't see it. Then the mantra says, then what can I do? The formula is given. Richo Akshare Parame Vyoman. Yesterday probably I told you about the meditation standing on earth alone and seeing the Akasha. You will get this vision. Richo Akshare Parame Vyoman. Yasmin Deva Adivishve Nishedhu. All the divine forces are there. And when you say the divine forces, it means Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesha, past, present and future. And if you can't see these devas, what can I do? I have given you the formula. So this is the formula. Next. The timeless infinite holds in itself in its eternal truth of being beyond this manifestation, this physical manifestation of present, future and past. All that it manifests in time, its time consciousness too is itself infinite and maintains in itself at once in a vision of totalities and particularities. In a vision. That is where to Sri Purani, Sri Aurobindo said, yes, India is free. You follow the integral yoga. But the physical thing must also happen, you remember. You just say it happens and you don't cooperate with it, it will not happen. That is where the karma yoga is important. The jnana yoga can see the past. The bhakti yoga can have the faith. But the faith and the ideal must be implemented. That is where we Indians miss. We have the faith, we have the knowledge, but we don't implement it. Next. If our present mind, untransformed by the supramental influence, tries to enter into the timeless, it must either disappear or be lost in the trance of samadhi. If our mind is not transformed by the supramental vibration, then you can enter timeless state only in samadhi. And when you come back, the timeless state is gone. Else remaining awake, it feels itself diffused. And once it is diffused, you can't gather any data. Next. It will therefore have the knowledge of the three times, Triloka Drishti, held of old to be a supreme sign of the Sri and the Rishi, not as an abnormal power, but as its normal way of time knowledge. You remember it, it is nothing abnormal. The only abnormality is, we are seeing it from below. If you can go to the overmind, you can know the past, present and future. And when such great consciousness, like Sri Aurobindo and Mother say, the time has come for supramental descent and Vijnana Purusha Nirmana, what more do you want to work for? You got the point? The ideal is there, the goal is fixed, the methodology is given. What are we to do? Do the yoga of divine works. Okay? Jai Gurudev. Is a wonderful supramental meaning. A very wonderful supramental meaning. And fortunately or unfortunately, the president is a bush. You know? The light descended in a bush. You know the story of the Moses? So the words have very great connotations. You have to link it. And when you are gone linking it, intuition dawns. And when the intuition dawns, you can fix the gate also. Just as Sri Aurobindo said, 15th August, the date was predestined. The year was not predestined. Can you understand the difference?
You cannot predict the year, but you can predict the date in a year. Think over it. Samvatsara Purusha we call, and that is what the mother's 12 petals are, the 12 months. You can say in which month it will happen in that year. But that month and that date in which year, you decide. The humanity decides. But even that is decided in higher planes. So don't think you have a right to decide. But a part of the group has a right not to take part in that activity. Just as Arjuna has a right to decide whether to take part in the war or not. But the result and the fight is foreordained. So only our participation in it is to be decided, and I say, have faith in those words and fight. Any questions? Pass it on. This is from Sri Ratnaya Shetty Garu. Importance and speciality of Gayatri Mantra. Just now I have shown you the slide that sun is the idol of Vijnanamaya Purusha on the earth plane. And he is the controller of three levels of consciousness. The Annamaya Purusha, the Pranamaya Purusha and the Manomaya Purusha. The sun's light controls the Manomaya Purusha. The sun's prana controls the vital Purusha. And the sun's kundalini controls the Annamaya Purusha. And how this is going to control has been given by three words, bhut, bhuvaha, svaha. And you remember that when you utter a word with real mental understanding, it becomes flesh. That is what is meant by shabda brahman. Brahman means creativity. Shabda means world. So when you say bhut, the Annamaya plane starts creating things. Bhuvaha, the prana purusha starts creating things. Svaha, the manomaya purusha starts creating things by knowing the three yogas, the karma yoga, that is the plane on the physical plane, karma yoga, on the vital plane, bhakti yoga, and the manasic plane, jnana yoga. And what is the formula given there? Tat savitur varenyam. The product must be like the sun. It did not say the sun. The qualities of the sun must be reflected in the qualities, that is jnana yoga, to understand the qualities of sun. Then what does it do? Bhargo devasya dhimahi. Vital body, energy body. Without the vital body, the thoughts in this body cannot do anything. But if the vital body is ignorant of the laws of vitality, of energy, of shakti, it cannot use it. So what should you do? Bhargo devasya dhimahi. Remove the darkness. Let deva, the divine consciousness, flood the energy. Let the divine shakti take over me. That is the meaning of Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Then what it should do? Dhiyo yona prachodayat. Let us be motivated for nobler actions. It is not I, it is we, it says, the collectivity. So in Gayatri Mantra, we have an integration of three yogas. Whereas in the synthesis of yoga, many other yogas are also joined. But in Savitri, the expression of Gayatri. You remember, Savitri is nothing but Gayatri expression. So the Savitri Yoga, you have two yogas, the Ashwapati Yoga and the Savitri Yoga. So when the Gayatri Mantra you go on chanting, and the Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, the cosmic energy takes over you, then the Ashwapati Yoga and the Savitri Yoga comes automatically in manifestation. and the supramental world descends. That is the secret of Gayatri Mantra and its speciality also. And once, then in the recoiling effect, when people forgot about these things, it was said that Gayatri should not be done by all because they are tremendous powers. But now Gayatri should be done by all with this understanding. Okay? Pranayama, Kumbhaka in and Kumbhaka out, what is the benefit? Very dangerous question. Dangerous because the real creativity starts when breathing stops. Real energy comes when breathing stops. For example, a very concrete example, suppose you are lifting a table. And suppose you find that you are not able to lift, what do? You hold your breath and lift. Is it not? So holding the breath is the key to energy. I think that should be enough, because if we go deeper into it, what happens is, whenever something comes out, it is not only you who are hearing. All minds are hearing, even though they may not be aware of it. And if this pranayama secret of antakumbhaka and bahya kumbhaka is given, you will understand what the rishis meant, that the entire world is nothing but the inbreathing and outbreathing of the Lord. So the hint is there. Creativity is in the kumbhakas. Next, dhyana japa, concentration, difference among the three, dhyana, japa and ekagrata. So the question is, what is dhyana, japa and concentration, and what is the difference? Japa is utilizing the potency of sound, only sound, shabda brahman. And this Om Namah Shivaya, Narayanaya or Gayatri Mantra or any mantra, it is the potency of the sound that is used in japa, not the meaning of it. Am I clear about it? Or when you chant a japa mantra, a particular part of your brain vibrates. And when the vibrations are permanent in that part of the mind or brain, you get japa siddhi. For example, you go on reading the engineering books. A particular part of your brain records them. And whenever you want, if you can use those vibrations of your brain which are related to engineering study, you are engineer. Is it not? Similarly, when you say Rama, Rama, there is a particular consciousness in space, achara. Richo achare parame yoman. Yasmin deva adhivishve nishedhu. In the akasha, there is a particular time-space continuum given to Rama. So all the sadhakas of Rama in the entire yuga, yuga, yugas, the entire power is there stored. If through your repetition of this mantra, if you can catch hold of that, the Ishta Devata of the mantra expresses himself before you, that is the process of japa. It is a mechanical process. The only thing you should be very clear is, the sound must be clear. Then there must not be a one word tumbling into the other, not very fast, not very slow. So what is the formula given? Taila dhara mivachinnam dirgha ghanta ninadavat. That is how the mantra should go. A continuity of sound. You get your Ishta Devata vibrations in course of time. And dhyana is not repetition of a sound, but a continuity of thoughts on the same subject. Let me repeat it. Continuity of thoughts on the same subject. For example, you are meditating on Rama. You are not doing japa of Rama mantra. You understood japa? Got the point in japa? Now dhyana on Rama. So you are sitting, you are seeing Dasharatha, he is not having children. He goes and weeps before Vasishtha. Vasishtha says, I can't do. You should feel the emotions of the characters. This is dhyana, the continuity of you are meditating on Rama. Where did he start? From Dasharatha. Then he had no children. Then Dasharatha goes to Vasishtha. And in like that you spend some 10 minutes, over. Next day again you sit for meditation. You say Rama. Take another chapter, another topic. Like Vishwamitra came. He asked for Rama's help. Dasharatha said no. Vasishtha said you go. He went. He killed Taraka. Now you understand? Meditation is a series of thoughts around the same seed thought. Am I clear? Suppose you want to meditate on rose. You can start it. While I was coming to this place, there was a rose there. It was so beautiful. It reminded me of Nehru, because he always used to have a rose in his ear. But always your thoughts are related to the seed thought. You understood now what dhyana is? Anything may be an object of dhyana, but there should be a continuous thought pictures relating to the seed thought. Clear? And now ekagrata. This is what identity is. In supramental parlance, you are meditating in Rama. Slowly you meditate for 5 or 10 minutes. You understand now what is meditation? You are interested in particular sequence of his life. You put those thought images continuously, and then you suddenly stop at a place where Rama is ready to pull the bow. Vibhishana has said that Ravana could be killed only when the arrow pierces the navel of Rama. And now what happens? You stop your meditation there and just try to go into the image of it, a murti of it. Got the point? Now there are no word pictures. There is only one picture. And you are trying to identify yourself with that picture. That is ekagrata. And almost all the three are required for mind development. Clear? Om Kreem Kram Swaha Chaitanya Chitra Guptaya Yama Rupi Dharaya. Yama is supposed to be the Lord of Death. And whenever you say a Lord of Death, there is a technical process given in a Upanishad, Kathopanishad, where you can conquer death. And where mother has developed into a great science, a mother's agenda. The basis is Kathopanishad. What does the Upanishad say? Nachiketas goes to his father. In anger, the father says, go to Yama. He goes to the Yamaloka. And there he practices and understands the knowledge of the five fires. Nachiketagini. The five fires indirectly are the five yogas of Sri Aurobindo, which we have just read. The Hatha Yoga, the Raja Yoga, the Karma Yoga, the Bhakti Yoga, and the Jnana Yoga. These five in one is Nachiketagni. And this particular mantra kindles your five Nachiketagni fires. How? If you know the science of mantras, Kreem, Kram, and Swaha. These are the basics. Wherever the letter Ka comes, it always stands for the material plane. Kali for Mahakali, the material plane. Shreem for vitality. Hreem for brain power. So this is a mantra where you can understand the laws of the Chitragupta. What I showed you there is Akashaliti. So this mantra makes you touch that place. But if you know where to look there, you should know while you are talking with the mobile phone, do you know people dance like this and like this? Why do they dance? Because their back is aching? Why do they move like that? So you should know where in the Akasha you have to tune it. But don't ask me how to tune it, because it is a great science. It takes a lot of time. And just hearing it, one of the mistakes we Indians do is, we just hear something and start practicing. When I teach asanas, I was teaching the Gomukha asana, a complicated asana. And even before I could explain and start doing it, people started doing it. That's our weakness. But it is a possibility. And then, that's all. Any more questions? Sidetracking can be done in two ways. Let me understand your question first. You say the vital ego is very strong. That means the desire is very strong. That's it. Let us take an example of the desire to smoke or drink, because they are really a very troublesome desire. Everyone knows, and even when it is stamped there, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. We become Shivas and drink the hala hala. And so that is the positive aspect of it. So how to sidetrack it? Whenever that urge comes, you pray Mother to free you from that desire. That's all. If you smoke, if you want to smoke, but first pray, and a sincere prayer. Drink again, offer a prayer. Drink again, offer a prayer. This is the best method I have found for many people who love where their bhakti yoga, where their heart center is easily molded into. But it takes time. I was a chain smoker, 6 packets a day, and that was minimum. And by this method, the first day I prayed, I didn't want to smoke, but I smoked. On the second day I stopped, and now I can't smoke. So it, when you hear it, seems to be a miracle. But actually, let the mother's power take over the problem. Because the energy aspect, the prana aspect, the shakti aspect is the mother's role, mother's field. Pray to her. And if you can't pray, and when I say you can't pray, suppose you are not have that, love, then think of mother. It's clear. You should have faith. Now it goes. Now you understood it? It happens. Miracles happen. But you should surrender and pray. And however many times you may be a prey to that desire, don't worry about it. Each successive prayer loosens the bond. Have faith in that. Sir John Woodruff, he has written 5 very good books. Sir John Woodruff, Adyar Publications, I think. Serpent Power, Garland of Letters, Tantra, Introduction to Tantra. 5 books there are. Wonderful books. And of course, there is a commentary on Saundarya Lahari. And if you can get this books on Sri Vidya. You know Sri Vidya? The Sri Chakra? Any book on Sri Chakra will give you an idea about Tantra. Many good books are there, but I am not remembering the author. Any book on that Yantra, Sri Yantra, deals with Tantra. There may be very good books. Who is that name? Pandit, Sri M.P. Pandit. He has also written some very good books. That is what? Wonderful. And Kundalini is the part of Tantra, deals with Kundalini. Or Shakti aspect. Continuous. And don't worry, however many times you fail, don't worry about that. That faith must be there. And the repetition of the prayer must be there, the urge, the aspiration. I think the human body is the best judge. When you are dipped in water, can you practice kumbhaka for any amount of time? Can you? You can't. This is only the ego of a guru speaking out that if you do without me, it is dangerous. I remember a story in France. It happened in the days of that revolutionary days. A leader of a revolutionary party was being interviewed in the restaurant, on the roadside restaurant. And they were talking. And suddenly a group of people were shouting slogans and passed by. And this press reporter asked, "What is it?" He said, "Oh, I have forgotten, I have to lead this." And he stopped the interview and ran ahead of the demonstrators. You understand what I mean? Majority of the gurus are like that. There is nothing dangerous in the world, nothing, because nature knows where to stop you. It will make you unconscious the moment it exceeds the limit. If the pain is more, you become unconscious. You need not have a measuring rod to see whether if you can bear the pain or not. If you can't bear the pain, you become unconscious. But what is dangerous, there is the danger there, no doubt, but we are lucky because we are not regular. If you regularly practice something for years, it becomes dangerous. But now, if you can regularly practice something for years, you can't practice it wrongly. Automatically you become an expert on that. So in the end, you practice kumbhaka, but don't stretch it to the limits. The moment you feel, you got the point, you are holding the breath, and you know that you are suffocating, leave it. Nothing happens. Yes? No, actually, No. It was not a necessity of Sri Aurobindo. It was a necessity of the disciple. Whatever a guru gives, because in the end, it is not the words that are important. You have to go beyond words. But suppose a disciple, it is the need of the disciple, that's all. There's nothing there. All Gayatris are one and the same. Ganesha Gayatri, Savitri Gayatri, Narasimha Gayatri, all devatas have Gayatri. And you remember, whenever you talk about Gayatri, you reach only to the overmind. Gayatri has only three steps. Vidmahe, Dhimahi, Prachodayat. The entire basis of the Gayatri mantra is based on these three letters. Vidmahe, to know. Dhimahi, to keep it in mind. Prachodayat, to put it in action. So when you do Ganesha Gayatri, you should know what is the power of Ganesha. Vidmahe. Then you should keep it in your mind. It is not to be just in the books. You should know it in the mind. Dharana, Dhimahi. And then when the occasion comes, the need comes, you have to put it into practice. So this is Gayatri. Or again, in the language of the yogas, Vidmahe is the Jnana Yoga. Dhimahi is the Bhakti Yoga. Prachodayat is the Karma Yoga. So it doesn't matter on whose name the Gayatri is being uttered. The thing is a coordination of these three, and because of this synthesis of yoga, you know, it will remove the three knots of Annamaya, Pranamaya and Manomaya, the three padas of Gayatri. So the coining of new Gayatri has no meaning except that coining of a new god. It doesn't matter who the god is. He has to be on the overmind plane. So this coining was necessary not to Sri Aurobindo, but to the man who was given it. And that is why I say, when you are reading something, you should know also to whom it is being told. If not, instead of going above, we may go below also. So the Gayatri by itself has nothing to do with supermind. Until and unless you can't cross the words, Gayatri is useful. Once you cross the level of words, the Akshara Brahman, the Gayatri has no value. Okay? You can ask, I said. Not nil effect. You know, in 1980s, I was conducting a Gayatri Sadhana camp in Amalapuram. And Amalapuram is supposed to be a seat of Pandits. So one of the Pandits came and asked me, "You are telling Gayatri and you are not talking about the Swara aspect of it. It is dangerous when you do Gayatri. The Veda mantras are to be done with proper incantation." I said, "You are right. But you answer me one question. You are a learned Pandit of Vedas. How many days it took you to know the correct incantation of the Vedas?" He said, "It took me 6 months. I said, "You have the answer. What is the answer? If chanting a Vedic mantra wrongly is dangerous, you can never learn a Vedic mantra. Is it not? So, the chanting of the Vedic mantra is not the dangerous thing. The utilization of the Vedic mantra is dangerous. And many people give a very wrong example of these Veda mantras where they say, mantra? The Rakshasa, the father of Ruttasura, wanted to have a son born who will kill Indra. And he did the yajna. And because of the wrong swara, what happened? Vrutta was killed by Indra. They didn't understand the principle of Vedas. The Vedas are Vishva Kalyana Hetavaha. Vedas
give results only when Vishwakalyana is the cause. And because that man wanted to utilize it for his personal desire, it doesn't fulfill. Just as if you want a lamp and burn it in your house, it's okay. If you want to bring the sun into your house, what will happen? Luckily, you cannot bring the sun into your house. You cannot. What you can do is, you can go into the sunlit area. You understood the point? So the Vedas are supposed to be utilized only for Vishwakalyana. You cannot utilize it for selfish end. And when the selfish end is not obtained, you say the mantra went wrong. No. No Veda mantra utilized for the good of humanity ever fails. Ever fails. It fails only when you want to utilize it for your selfish purpose, and there also it will not hurt you. The purpose will not be fulfilled. He wanted a son who will kill Indra. That was not fulfilled. But Vritta was a great man by his own way, even though Asura. Got the point? And chanting the mantra mentally develops your Manomai Purusha, verbally develops your Annamai Purusha. So it depends on where you want the results. But my Guruji always says, chant it out so that others also are forced to hear. Jai Guru Dev. Any more questions? With full freedom, whoever says that Bijaksharas should not be chanted doesn't know it. A Bijakshara is a seed. If it has got a correct place in the earth, it sprouts. If it is not, what happens? Nothing happens. So there is no danger. If the bija falls on some stone, what happens? Nothing happens. But suppose it falls on a fertile path, it grows. So do it. But be regular in anything. That's the science. Any bijakshara, any combination of bijakshara, be regular. Even though for 5 minutes, be regular. The regularity part is important. We don't get results in mantra chanting because we are not regular. If not within few months, you see the results. Within months, you can see the results. It depends on where you are. I always say Vachika, so that others also will hear it. But suppose you are in a train or somewhere in a group, or probably you are doing it in the early mornings and others are sleeping. But then Upanishad is always better than Manasik. Upanishad, you know, just move the lips, but the sound should not come out. Because Upanishad Japa affects the energy factor, Pranamaya Purusha. And if the energy is properly raised, everything is raised. And some people say that Pranamaya Purusha is like the neutral. To whatever gear you want, to Annamaya gear or the Manomaya gear or to the Vijnanamaya gear or to the Anandamaya gear in a car, you always have to pass through the Pranamaya. So Upanishad is the best for Japa. Jai Gurudev.